Williams College is presenting on Wednesday night the Apprenticeship Project, a collectively created performance installation. The performance features 34 performers engaged in a variety of activities, from cooking, painting, carpentry, botany, and Tai Chi to spoken word, music, dance, meditation, and other actions that cultivate and exhibit kinesthetic trust and sensitivity. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to ask our guest in just a moment. The audience will have the opportunity to view the event from a variety of vantage points for as long or short as they like, as well as to participate in the project by receiving a Reiki treatment, getting a haircut, or contributing to the creation of an experimental music composition. The audience is welcome to enter or leave at any time. Free will. 17 Williams College students from a variety of courses of study have been engaged in a semester-long one-to-one mutual apprenticeships with residents of Williamstown, North Bennington, and North Adams. The apprenticeship project was conceived and directed by this year's Williams College Arthur Levitt 52 Artist in Residence, Hannah Vanderkolk. Am I right on that?
Yep, that's it.
Hannah Vanderkolk. Hannah is originally from Boston, Massachusetts. She currently works throughout the United States and abroad, most frequently in Los Angeles and Amsterdam, and we welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What you do is very cool.
I hope so.
Yeah. How do you describe what it is? Because this all, from my understanding, the Williams work all came out of a course.
Yes. These 17 students have been enrolled this whole semester in perceptual intelligence, which is a cross-registered class between the art department and the dance department. And it is a training program in movement that is derived from experimental dance and somewhat experimental dance and experimental performance in theater. And at the same time that they've been engaged in that training that comes out of my background as a performer and a choreographer, they've been engaged in, as you said, these one-to-one apprenticeships with local residents and immediately taking some of what they're learning. For most of them, that's really new.
Right.
Way of working with their bodies and teaching it directly to a partner who the partners range in age from 18 to 78. So
that's cool.
Anywhere along those lines.
What I find fascinating about what you do and also frustrating, and I'll explain in a moment, is that you remind me of the eclectic musician whose new CD you have in the CD store, and you're trying to figure out what section to put it in so people can find it.
Absolutely.
And country folk, singing, show tunes, dance, what, you know,
yeah.
And you don't know what to do. And which makes what you do so eclectic and fascinating and exciting, but very difficult to explain to people on the radio. So,
yeah.
How do you define it? I mean, at your core, are you a choreographer?
My background is in dance, and in large ways, my commitment is really to movement and working with the body and consciousness. But in the last several years, my work has taken maybe a wider definition into conceptual practice, social practice, performance, which lands a little bit more in the fine arts category, where there's a lot more openness for things to have to look a lot of different ways.
So in what you are doing in this apprenticeship project, which is having these students work with people in the community and having us watch what they do,
mm-hmm.
right? At a pool hall, an old pool hall.
Yep.
I assume it's not set up that way anymore.
Nope.
But
we've changed it a lot.
Okay, but that's what it used to be.
Yeah.
And I'll get into that later because we'll give you the address. But they're going to run shuttles from the college, mm-hmm. so you get to see it. But anyway, the what's fascinating is that there's a lot of different stuff because even within this umbrella of the apprenticeship project, there is great eclectic work.
Totally.
So everything, as I mentioned, from painting to botany to
hairstyling.
Right, yeah. Give it a haircut.
Yeah. So a lot of my interest there, well, twofold. One, I'm just here for a year. So I came into Williamstown as an outsider and kind of got this flash picture, my first impression. And my first impression was that the college was quite isolated from the surrounding towns and quite different in terms of resources than a lot of the surrounding areas. And I immediately started meeting a lot of different people in the area who did a lot of different things with, and this may not be how their work is normally categorized, but as I saw it as a movement person, they do stuff with their bodies. A carpenter works with his body, a hairstylist works with her body, and that's not necessarily how it's thought about, but I have a real an empathy and resonance with people who work all day long in that way. And not just moving their body, but there's a lot of sensitivity and kind of bodily intelligence that goes into that, into knowing where you are in space and how much force you need to have for a given action, and that you, these kind of are taken for granted, that these skills are developed by these kinds of vocations.
Was it the student, or was this your job of finding these people and matching themselves?
It was a big project. It was a bigger project than I'd realized when I set out to do the project. Paula Consolini, who's the director of experiential learning at Williams, helped me a lot to find partnerships. Jonathan Secor, who lives in North Adams, helped me a lot to find people.
Because there has to be an investment, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be on the same page and in that vibe if it's going to work.
You have to be up for an experiment, and I think that's what I found all the apprenticeship partners from North Adams and Williamstown to be so amazing with, is that they've just been very trusting of me and of the experiment that this project is. I've never done a project to this scope and in this exact way, so there was a real collective sense of like, we'll see what happens, and that really unified the group, I think.
So give me a sense of when we go in, are there 17 things going on at one time, or are they separate, or do they relate to one another?
So my biggest job has been just to organize, to facilitate. And so these partnerships have been working weekly, and I'm not there, and I get reports about it. And so as the semester's gone on, I've started to get a sense, okay, they're working with making mosaics out of eggshells, and they created a marionette duck, and now they're working on making wooden spoons. And to start to get like a bank of all the possible activities, and then I've created a score that organizes these activities both temporally and spatially. So you walk in, and there will be two areas that audience, if they like, can get a raised view, and that will be probably the only areas where their passive viewing is
sure. kind of a bird's eye look.
Yeah, bird's eye look at the whole room
as a whole. Okay,
and I think that one of the ways I like to describe it is as a temporary village, mm-hmm. And I think that now that we're a little further along the process in the space, setting up the lighting equipment. I'm really starting to see it that way. It's very much this village that's going to exist for a little while, and then it's going to disappear. So you'll have somebody working on the wooden spoon and another pair engaged in a movement activity and an audience member receiving body work from another pair.
And this is consistent with what they do in their real life. So for example, the barber isn't going to be doing the marionette duck.
Correct.
That's the woodworker. Okay, gotcha.
Where they do all overlap is that the students, the elements that of our class, the students were teaching their partners, were structured by me. So all the partnerships share this kind of bank of movement activities. So I'm able to tie together and create some resonances in the room by saying, okay, you eight are all going to do finger to finger, and they all know what that means. And while it's
what does that mean?
Well, it's improvisational.
Okay, get to all that. Right.
It's improvisational, and will look different on each pair. An audience member knows that all eight of those people are doing the same activity. And so finger to finger, for example, is partnerships stand with their one pointer finger touching mm-hmm. the other part. And they aim to kind of focus into to that meeting point and then follow that meeting point between their fingers without leading or following. And then let their bodies respond to follow, almost like a Ouija board type mm-hmm. of thing. So it's a way of talking about this developing kinesthetic empathy, which I think you read from the press release.
Yeah,
that's an example.
I don't know what that means.
That's an example of that. So where a structured movement activity gives you a way to be non-verbally communicating and relating to another person.
So when one of the things that struck me about the project is that you encourage people to come. It runs from like 7 to 10,
mm-hmm.
and people can come in, dip mm-hmm. their toe, and stay as little or as long as they want.
Yep.
Do you feel you get a different perspective? I mean, is there, in your mind, will there be a created beginning and a middle and an end that someone would experience if they stayed for the entire 3 hours that they miss out on if they come in for a half hour?
I've been interested for a long time in giving audience agency and that multiple pieces exist depending on how the viewer creates that viewing experience for themselves. So somebody might come in and get a 20-minute massage and then spend another 40 minutes wandering around. And they'll get a much different work of art than somebody who comes for 10 minutes. But I'm interested with a piece like this not to value one viewing experience over the other. My personal hope is that people would stay for longer and get to see the range that's going to happen. I'm working closely with Chris Cool, who's a really fabulous lighting designer and an installation artist, and the light will be shifting sometimes imperceptibly, sometimes more dramatically throughout the night to kind of feature different areas of the room or feature different activities. There'll be calmer moments, really quiet moments, that there'll be more dense and dissonant moments where lots of sonic elements are happening together. So if you stay for longer, you'll get a bigger range.
And does that music dictate the movement in the sense of, or the sound, is that dictating at all? Or
not directly. I mean, it may be the case that a kind
because that's organic, right? It's not planned. They're going to do what they do, and that depends on who they're giving the massage to, or who they're working. Mm-hmm. You know, who they're touching at that moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of, again, as you pointed out, a lot of nobody who spent the semester learning to play harmonica is going to be doing carpentry.
Right.
So they might be over here, Susanna and Mark Maniac playing American Pie, while somebody else is doing a sewing project, and those sonic elements will come together as they do. So a lot of the project has to do also with layering, with just letting things coexist.
This is so cool. And I think what you do is amazing. I mentioned to Ray early on in the program, I've watched a lot of the videos that you have online, and your work is so eclectic and so fascinating. How long did it take you to, as you say, you've been working on this for a year. So, or, you know, for two semesters. What is it? Is it difficult for you to explain to the students what it is that you want?
The students less so, because we have 6 hours a week together, and they have gotten a pretty comprehensive training in the lineage of the kind of work that I do. So the depth of developing bodily awareness, an expanded range for what you can do with your body and your voice. They've spent a lot of time with me, really getting to dive into that. So they're, I think, making the, and many of them are art majors or psych majors. Or sociology is another common major in the group. So making the leap to this kind of social project, they have some frame of reference. I think for some of the apprenticeship partners, it's just been a black hole when I say durational performance installation. They're just like, great. I'm looking forward to seeing what that is. They're just like, I have no idea. So Saturday was our first rehearsal with everyone in the space with equipment. I had set up the sculpture of all the tables and the props, and I saw these kind of like light bulbs going off for people. And they were like, oh, this is what she's been talking about. So seeing it come together.
And that's a wonderful feeling.
Very exciting.
I would think. For you and for them.
Yeah, because I myself had no... It's existed largely in my head up until this point. So,
do you get a different perspective? I would think you would. That the psych major would take things in a completely different direction than the sociology or the art major.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been a really, really special part of this class. And I often teach dance students or choreography students when I'm teaching. So being at Williams has been a very special, different, and surprising experience, because I have this huge range. I mean, I have bio and chem majors in that class.
Mm-hmm.
I have somebody who's going to be a doctor and somebody who's doing environmental science. And what we've been really finding, aside from the apprenticeship project, just in the class time, is how relevant this doing this bodily practice together is to all their courses of study, to all their professional aspirations. And so we've had multiple conversations about like, what's the relevance of this? I mean, it seems like we're just kind of wriggling around on the ground or going out into public and making a scene, but what is it we're doing and how can this be applied to your work as a sociologist or as a public policy maker or a visual artist? And they're all coming up with these great ideas, so it's really generative.
So with that in mind, what do you hope the student at the end gets out of it? You want them to have experienced what?
Well, that they've been kind of teaching me that a lot.
Which is the best kind of learning.
Which is the best, yeah. I mean, two different tracks. One is on the apprenticeship project. And take, for example, Tracy Hugh, who's a junior double major in bio and art and studio art. She's been working with John Ladd, who's a retired carpenter who used to do carpentry largely at the Clark. Mm-hmm. And he's, I think, 70. She's 20. And she's been going weekly to his studio. And he's been really taking, I think, the call of apprenticeship very seriously and really teaching her how to work with wood and tools. And she made a marionette duck, and now she's learning to make wooden spoons. And in the meantime, they've just gotten to know each other and spent time together. And she baked him and his wife Morning Glory muffins the other day.
That's
so
special.
So it's like they've developed a friendship that you just wouldn't develop except for these kind of odd circumstances. And then beyond that, the very first day they ever met and spent time together, I forget what they did on their first day, but presumably something like touching your fingertips together and moving through the room. Mm. So it's just a very different way of entering a relationship with somebody through this nonverbal space, which a lot of the work that a lot of these people do is also engages a nonverbal space.
We're just about out of time. I only have about less than a minute left. But on Wednesday night, mm-hmm. will we see you actually doing something, or are you sort of behind the scenes?
I'm just going to enjoy myself and walk around
and be immensely proud.
I hope so. Yeah. It seems like it's going in the direction that I had hoped it would. So.
Well, congratulations on the great work. The Apprenticeship Project is this wonderful performance installation that takes place Wednesday night in North Adams from 7 to 10. You can find out more if you go to earthdance.org, there's all this information.
And on my website as well, yeah.
And it's Hanna, HANAVANDERKOLK, Hanna van der Kolk. And yes, you have all the information on where to go. And,
yep.
And as I said, they're going to run shuttles and the address is there and all the information that you need mm-hmm. to know. The Apprenticeship Project was conceived and directed by this year's Williams College Arthur Levitt 52 Artist in Residence, Hanna van der Kolk. Hanna, I wish you the best of luck. It's so fascinating to talk to you and really should be very proud of the work that you've accomplished. I thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.